Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Vayikra. The first story I have is a story about Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He sent somebody to go gather some tzedakah for the yeshiva, and when his shaliach went to the house of a particular gvir, the gvir said, "Nope, I will only give my money to Rav Chaim Volozhiner himself. I want that the truma will go from my hand to his hand, and I don't want anything else. And I won't let a gabbai take anything or anything else." And when Rav Chaim Volozhiner heard this, he says, "This is not a Jewish way. This is the way of the other nations. When they give to a place of prayer, they don't want to give through a shaliach, but Jews specifically want to use a gabbai. They want to use a shamish and everything else because they will be able to get the zechus of the Schar Tircha, the reward for all of their exertion." And where do we learn this from? This is very simple, is that a goy can bring a korban ola, but not a korban shlomim. And the reason is because the Gentile, when they give the korban, they are wanting it to be totally to Hashem. But for a korban shlomim, the makriv can bring, can enjoy it along with the kohanim. A goy doesn't get to understand that idea, but Jews, we understand that we're able to share that very special benefit. I came across a bunch of stories about the truth, telling the truth, being extraordinarily and perhaps superlatively truthful, all of which resonate to me very much. There's a nice story about the altar of Kelm. He was passing a house and he heard a song and he knew the nigun. And he felt like the person who was the menagin didn't get it right. So he knocked on the door and he said, "You know, you're saying something wrong here." When he saw that that was any sort of deviation from the truth. Another remarkable, remarkable story. The Imre Emes of Gur. The Gur Rebbe, when he was before Bar Mitzvah, he decided to make an extraordinary Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah was only to speak the truth for his entire life. And he explained his reason for this. He says, since this was so hard to go through life without lying, right, to say something which is untruthful, specifically because of this great difficulty, he accepted upon himself. And that's why he obviously got that special name of being the Imre Emes. There was a bunch of gvirim that came to the yeshiva in Radin for the benefit of the yeshiva to go see the Chafetz Chaim. And they all came together and they said they'd like to, you know, to help out, to participate, to help shoulder the burdens of the yeshiva. And when they got to the Chafetz Chaim's room, one of them turned to the Chafetz Chaim and says, the Rav certainly remembers me from the last time I visited. And I did all this stuff for the yeshiva and everything else. And the Chafetz Chaim said, "I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm an old man now and I'm weak and my memory just isn't as it used to be." So one of the people who were around, you know, tried to, refresh his memory, but it wasn't toe-faced. It didn't work. So, you know, the folks from the yeshiva, they were a little bit concerned. They said, "Look, I mean, this guy, he's done such great stuff for us. This could kind of insult him and kind of chill his generous spirits, as it were." So he tried to jog the memory of the Chafetz Chaim, tried in this way, tried in that way. Chafetz Chaim says, "I'm so sorry, I just don't remember." So after the guest left the room, the yeshiva guy said, "Look, you know, what's going on here? For the benefit of the yeshiva, wouldn't you be able to kind of, stretch the truth a little bit for the purposes of, for shalom and for the purpose of the yeshiva and Talmud Torah and everything?" My response was, "No, I won't be Mishana here. And, I'm very, very sorry." There's a story about, Ben Sion Abba Shoal. During one of the times where the old city of Yerushalayim was busy, during the War of Independence. So Yeshivas Poras Yosef moved to a shul away from it used to be, and the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Ezra Atya, lived in with the Bachrim. So they came, three people came to him to get a Bechina in Isser V'Heter, and they did great. And they said, well, will you give us some sort of a Tuda, some sort of, you know, recognition? But when he signed the Tuda, he said, oh, this is written on the Yeshiva's letterhead, and it says Yeshivas Poras Yosef, that is in the old city. And he said, but we're not in the old city right now. We're in the new city. So maybe somebody's going to say, you know, you go to the old city and there's a war there and it's not going to work. So the, you know, and they could even get injured or hurt or something like that. And the Rebbetzin wouldn't even let him. She said, you know, maybe you just go to the city one time, but also the Bachrim are waiting, and they heard it. What can you do? This is something very, very important. He took the three Teudos, he went to the Eratika, signed, he went to the Yeshiva, signed it there, and he just wanted to make sure that it was true. Next, a story of Rabbi Eliyahu Avashol. His father, Rav Ben Sion Avashol, spoke about how much he hated liars, and it was around 25 or 26 years ago, this is before he died, and he said, I will say, with respect to myself, that 22 years I did not lie. There's a story about Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, when they asked Rav Eliyahu Lapian, what time is it? He was concerned that he wouldn't say it exactly, so he'd say, Erech kach v'kach, that, you know, around this time. And once he caught a bacher that had lied, and from that moment on, he didn't want to speak to him anymore. And when he had a need to communicate, he sent another Talmud to tell them. Last story is about Rabbi Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz. It said that there was somebody who asked from him for some sort of approval letter with respect to collecting for Hachnasas Kala, and he said, you write the letter, and then I'll take a look at it. They wrote the letter, he looked it over, and he, you know, he kind of looked through it, and at the end of it, it said, Me Ome Kalev. And when Rav Lefkowitz saw that, he said, look, the rest of this looks fine, but I can't, it would be a lie for me to say Me Ome Kalev, because I don't know the people who are involved, and that does not feel fair. On to Divrei Torah, a few of them. The first one is from the Chiddah, a beautiful idea. It says, where is it that the Korban Chatas is shechted? It's still shechted at the place where the Ola is shechted. So the Torah doesn't want to do Habanas Panim Barabim, specifically with respect to an Avarian. So that's why the Chatas is shechted at the place of an Ola. So we don't know who's bringing a Chatas, and we don't know who is bringing an Ola. And we are trying to preserve the dignity and cover the identity of the Avarian. This is the Chiddah in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim. Let's continue with darshaning a few of the interesting special concepts of the Korbanos. Let's start with the Shol Meshiv. Says in Beis Yud Aleph, Ki kol se'or v'chol dvash lo saktir mimenu yishe Hashem. So no se'or and no dvash here. So he quotes the Rambam. He says the Rambam needs to choose a middling way in life. This is the Rambam in his Shmona Prakim and his Hilchos Deos of the Mishneh Torah. And he says that you shouldn't go to an extreme. The se'or is extreme on one side. It's very pungent. And the dvash, the honey, is very sweet. Therefore, we don't use either of them on the Mizbeach as a remez, showing that we need to kind of go in the middling way. This is a very important thing to consider and remember in advance of Pesach. With Pesach, we do deviate from the normal way where we can take giant leaps and bounds in our growth in a short period of time. But were it not for the fact that there's like a special Koyach of Pesach, that would be inappropriate, and we need to live balanced lives. And on that very same thing, now the Shlah will give us a handful of symbolisms as well, the Ramazim. So on the concept of Sor and Dvash, he says that the Talmud says that even a korban needs to have a little bit of hachna, a little bit of subjugation, in order to be the ratzon. Sor and Dvash, the Yetzer Hara will, they are part of the Yetzer Hara, and will lift them up naturally. And the kapara needs to be through hachna. So all the manachos are matzah, right? And therefore, the kategor doesn't become the sanegor, the defense doesn't become the prosecution, because if we defended ourselves for our averus with the seor and the seor and the dvash, then in such an instance we would be reminding the Kadosh Baruch Hu of our gaiva that got us there in the first place. Now, what about melach? What is the deal with salt, with karbanos? This is the idea that they say Kadosh Baruch Hu made a tnai, a condition that with the sea waters, that they will be part of a korban, and a person brings a korban, they need to feel a little bit of pain. Just like the Gemara in Brachos says, just like salt will fix complete meat, meaning we need to salt meat, so Yisurin also, a little bit of suffering is very, very good for us. And this is what our rabbis teach us. Tova mardus achas belibo shel adam mimea malkios. A little bit of punishment, somebody beating themselves up in their heart, is better than 100 lashes that are imposed by somebody else. So what does that mean? It means that whenever anybody else tells us something, whenever anybody else disciplines us, we put up all of our walls, we put up all of our barriers, our shields, or whatever it is. We don't want to hear it. But when it comes internally, we won't defend ourselves from ourselves. And this is an extraordinarily important concept for us to take to heart and remember that our best regulators of ourselves are indeed ourselves. So this is a mussar for us all to take. Next, we have a mitzvah shalola havdil harosh b'chatas ha'uf with respect to a chatas that's brought from birds. We don't start from the front. So Rabbi Menachem Abavli in his Tamei Mitzvos says the reason is that when somebody does an avera, they turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu their neck and not their face, meaning it's almost as if they're turning their back on the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, the korban, which is supposed to be kind of a swap, nefesh tachas nefesh, it's going to come from the back of the neck, because this person also symbolically was she'orif, they were stubborn. And specifically with respect to chatas ha'of, that brings kapara, and not with olas ha'of, there, because there's a vidui, and olas ha'of doesn't have a vidui. Therefore, with the chatas ha'of, it needs to be mimul arpo, the lo yavdil. It needs to be from the back of the neck. Now on to our kasha that we'll deal with this week. Rashi in Hey Yud Zayin says, Tse ulmad the odom arishon. Go and learn from Adar Rishon. Shalunis tava el mitzvah. Mitzvah is lo sase v'avar aleha. He only had one mitzvah and he violated it. Re'e kama misos nizkansu alav l'durusav. This was the beginning of death. Look how many deaths came from somebody who just had one thing to do and they could simply not comply. Rashi here seems to say that Adam Rishon had just one mitzvah to do, and that was not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The problem is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Nunvav Amud Beis darshins that Adam Rishon had all the seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach to observe. And some say it was just with respect to Avodah Zorah, but nothing with respect to the Eitz Hadas, or many mitzvahs. Why is it that Rashi says here that it was only one mitzvah, if we know there's a Gemara Mufureshes that says a little more? Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for learning with me.